take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to find verse number 1, and then if you would stand with me, we're going to read some scripture here together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse number 1, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help the young people to be still. May we all be more spiritual because we came to church, more capable to live in this world and successfully. Now, the Holy Spirit of God, do a work tonight, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 2 of that passage of Scripture, the words are using, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind." This morning, I made mention of this. It's talking about the coming of the Lord, and God didn't want people to be all shook up about it. But I think he's telling us that we're not to be shaken in mind about anything. Our minds are to be strong. They're to be sound. And it said there that ye not soon be shaken. I think God's saying, you know, if you are going to be shaken in mind, help it not to be immediate. At least you ought to try to control your mind so it doesn't get out of control and it doesn't get out of sorts. Now, I mentioned in the sermon this morning, I mentioned what they call the shaken baby syndrome, and that's where someone shakes a baby, and that baby's brain, it being tender and young, it hits up against the inside of their skull, and it bruises their brain, and it hurts them. There is also shaken adult syndrome, and the sad thing is, you find it a lot where a married couple didn't get along, and they would hurt one another, shake one another, and then again, that brain, it gets bruised, and then it affects you. It affects their eyesight, it affects the way that their limbs work, because it can hurt their spinal column and things like that. Now, when the Bible is talking about not being soon shaken in mind, it's not talking about your brain. And I understand that. But the comparison for me here and the application tonight is this. If we let life or the devil shake us mentally, we are going to damage ourselves, our own spiritual or our own mental spiritual capacity. And we're going to hurt ourselves, and we're not going to be able to function like we should as Christians. Our minds are incredible. If they're used right, our minds can help us to accomplish great things. If they're not used right, our minds can, they can accomplish terrible, terrible things. I mentioned this today. Your mind is like a battlefield. The devil wants your mind. Hey, God wants your mind. And so you know God deserves to have your mind. The safest place for your mind to be is in the possession of God. You want God in control of that thing. But this battlefield, there's a battle that goes on. It's a battle between the devil and God for your mind. Your flesh and the spiritual part of you, they battle over your mind. I will very quickly remind you of a couple things I said this morning, and then I'll get to the new material. The Bible gives us many examples of misuse of our mind, if you will. The Bible says in Romans 8:6 that our minds can be, we can have carnal minds. The word carnal there, that's fleshly. That's opposite of being spiritual. Daniel 5:20 speaks of a mind that's hardened in pride. Luke 12:29 mentions a mind that is doubtful. Romans 8:28 speaks of a reprobate mind. Acts 14, verse 1 and 2 speaks of people that are evil affected against the brethren, and that's their mind. In Philippians 3:19, it speaks of people that mind earthly things. In James 1:8, it speaks of being double-minded. What you do with your mind will determine what God can do with you. I want to, as I said this morning, there's some things that you and I can do to prevent our minds from being shaken. When I'm talking about shaken, you say, what do you mean by that? I want our minds to be solid. I want them to be stable. The Bible would use the term sound. Folks, the world, they've got a panic system, and there's some scatterbrained, disconnected, unspiritual way of thinking. We're not supposed to be like that. To me, I like this word, you might not. Our world's wacky. The way they think, the way they behave, the way they make their decisions. You and I, as Christians, we're born again. We're not to be shaken in our minds. I said this morning. To prevent a shaken mind, we are to have a mind to work, according to Nehemiah 4:6. If you want to prevent a shaken mind, then you need a mind that is stayed on God. And that was point number two this morning. When we say stayed, that means you're hooked into God, you're connected to God and the things of God, and you're not off and on and off and on with God. I mean, you're going to be in church. You've decided to be in church, and you're going to be in church, and you're just going to do that. And you've decided to live by the Bible, and you're going to live by the Bible. God is not looking for us to be wishy-washy off and on. Wishy-washy off and on people are not stable in their thinking, not especially in their spiritual thinking. So to prevent a shaken mind, we do it by having a mind to work. Secondly, to have a shaken mind, that our mind is to be stayed on God. Then, if we want to prevent having a shaken mind, our minds need to be filled with hope. Then, if we want to prevent a shaken mind, we will do that by having a humble mind. And that's a mind that's still willing to learn and that wants to grow. If we want to prevent a shaken mind, we should have a sound mind. And that means a disciplined mind. A mind that is using clear spiritual judgment. If we want to prevent a shaken mind, we need a Christ-like mind. Now, those are the 6 points that I gave this morning. I realize some of you may have been in nurseries. I realize you might have been in junior church or primary church, and maybe a few. We've got folks that have to work sometimes. If you get the CD or you go on the internet, you can hear the rest of the sermon. But let me get started tonight. I'm going to give you a few more ideas about what we can do to keep from having shaken minds. What are other things that, how does God describe our mind if it's not shaken? Okay. I think we can prevent having shaken minds by having ready minds. Ready. R-E-A-D-Y. A ready mind. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 2, it says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." That's a positive thing. God said you need a ready mind. And I'll tell you something, if you'll have a ready mind, you're less apt to have a shaken mind. God is recommending that your mind be ready. Say, ready for what? Ready and able to fulfill the right things or the right duties in life. Ready, a mind that, and that has something to do with our attitude. What does it mean? Ready and willing. Ready and willing to do what God would have us to do. Ready and willing. You say, well, shouldn't everybody be that way? There are all sorts of people that are not ready and willing. We ought to be ready to do what God wants us to do. And that's our mind. It's an attitude that if God wants something, I'm ready. If God needs something of me, I'm ready. Let me tell you how to do well at work. Go to work with a ready mind. You say, what's that? Go to work and whatever the boss needs done, you're ready. You're ready. I came ready. The average person goes to work and you're lucky if you get anything out of them at all in the first 30 or 40 minutes. They didn't come to work ready. They expected the boss ought to pay them to get mentally ready to go to work. Now you got to walk in the door ready. But be ready. A ready mind is an eager mind. And by the way, I think also if you define the word ready, I think it's an eager and a cheerful mind. In other words, I'm ready and I'm happy to be ready. I'm not sad about being ready. I'm not depressed about being ready. Can I tell you what? Come to church with a ready mind. Amen. You say ready for what? ready to receive the Word of God, ready to change if God wants something to change. Come happy and eager and have a mind that's ready. Ready minds are not soon shaken minds. Let me go on. If you want to prevent having a shaken mind, have a mind of subjection. A mind of subjection. Listen to Titus chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says this: put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work. Now there it talks about the mind being subject. That's subjection. Subject means to place in submission, under authority, in an orderly fashion. What this is saying is, learn to follow. Learn to follow. You won't be soon shaken if you learn to properly follow. Learn to follow leaders. Learn to follow rules. That keeps you from having a shaken mind. Let me tell you, often people with shaken minds are the people that break the rules. You want to mess up your mind? Go do your own thing. Don't follow the rules. Don't do what everybody else has required. You'll mess your mind up. You'll mess up your emotions. You'll get yourself all messed up. It might be a good place to pop this. A bunch of you took on duties here at the church, and when you did, you went through an interview, and you promised me, and you promised God and promised His church there are certain ways that you would behave. If you're breaking those rules, you're doing the wrong thing. You say, that makes me a little nervous. No, what that makes you is shaky. Amen. And when I look out and I look at people, and sometimes people think the preacher's stupid. He's not as stupid as what you think. Preacher sees things. Some of you are misbehaving. I'm going to tell you something. Better knock it off. Your mind should be submissive to right. And people that are submissive to right are less apt to crack up. Misbehavior is what brings the breakdown. So, if I want to prevent a shaken mind, I need a ready mind. If I want to prevent a shaken mind, I need a mind of subjection. I happen to believe this when it comes to subjection. Weak fellowship equals weak minds. If you can't learn to follow, you will be weak in life. I think fellowship proves strength. Jesus is the most powerful being in the universe, and He followed the Scripture perfectly as He lived on this earth. That's what made Him great. That's what made Him powerful. You say, well, I'm just such a strong leader. I have a hard time following. You're a knucklehead. That's what you are. The people that get into leadership in most cases got there by being a follower first. So, I don't want my mind to be shaken. I need a ready mind. I don't want my mind to be shaken. I need a mind of subjection. Then, if I want to prevent a shaken mind, I need to have a fervent mind. A fervent mind. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 7. The Bible says this: and not by His coming only, but by the consolation wherewith He was comforted in you. When He told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Fervent. That word fervent there has something to do. It almost means on fire. Fervent means hot. Fervent means intense. One of my favorite people in the Bible, and most people never really heard of him, they might have heard the name, but they never looked at him much. His name is Apollos. If you look at the young man by the name of Apollos in Acts chapter 18, verse number 5, it talks about his fervency. He was fired up. Now, when I say we can prevent a shaken mind by having a fervent mind, can I say this? If you would get on fire for God, get on fire for doing right, you're less apt to have an emotional collapse. People that dabble in Christianity and dabble in doing right, in other words, they give a little but not much, they things start falling apart around them sooner or later. A fervent mind means hot or intense or on fire. Hey, you know, in the scripture, there were some people that were walking with Jesus one day. And while they were walking with him, this is what they said. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us? Listen, you ought to want to get fired up for Jesus. In high school, our cheerleaders used to have a cheer. Let's get fired up. Let's get fired up. I tell you what, we need some cheerleaders for the cause of Jesus Christ and the cause of righteousness. We need some people that'll get fired up for the Lord. Some of you, here's a bad thing. Some of you used to have fervent minds for God. Now all you care about is money. Now all you care about is the luxuries of life. Can I recommend you're more apt to keep yourself emotionally strong and mentally strong if you'll have a fire for the things of God, a fire for the Bible. So, if I want to prevent having a shaken mind, I need a ready mind, I need a mind of subjection, and I need a fervent mind. Then, I think we can prevent a shaken mind by having a renewed mind. All these words that are attached to the mind are positives. So if I don't want a shaken mind, I've got to get these other positive matters involved. I've got to get these other positive mental qualities involved in my life. And when it talks about a renewed mind, we find it in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, where the Bible says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, when you and I get saved, salvation gives us a renewal. Well, I got to tell you something. When you got saved, it changed your final destiny. Now you're not going to hell, but you're going to heaven. But it doesn't change everything that you've seen. It doesn't change everything that you've heard. And so you understand, it really doesn't even change everything that you've done. You got saved, and now you're on your way to heaven. I want to recommend something. You need to let God renew your mind. You need to let Him fix up that mind. And we say, look, if your mind ever gets off track, Christian, let God push the reset button and renew your thinking. There's some of you, I think you know what's right to do. It'd be probably a good idea for you to think back to what's right to do. Take a good long look at yourself right now and realize you're not doing what you know you ought to do. Push the reset button and renew your commitment to God. And you say, well, I would really like a new type of a commitment. Let me explain. It's the old time religion. We're not developing anything new in our behavior. It's the same right old behavior that we through the centuries have been responsible to live. Our minds, sometimes they need a little renewal. They need a refresh, if you will. And so when God tells us, he says, I want you to renew your mind. Be willing to push the reset button of your mind. Be willing to get back to where you ought to be. That may be how God, one of God's ways is saying, if you're mentally backslidden, you need to push the reset button and get yourself straightened out. And our sin starts in the mind. It starts in here. It starts on the inside of us and it comes out. And God said, you better be careful what you put in that mind. Renew your mind. So I'm to have a ready mind, a mind of subjection, a fervent mind. I'm to have a renewed mind. Then the Bible talks about being of one mind. So if I want to prevent my mind from being a shaken mind, then I want to be careful. I might need to be cautious to make sure I'm doing whatever it takes to have one mind. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8 says this. Finally, be ye all of one mind. You say, well, Pastor, how could all of us be of one mind? Well, we hook ourselves up to the central computer. Amen. You say, what's a central computer? Yes. It's a Bible. You may not know me well, and I may not know you well, but if we know God well, and if we'll behave the way God told us to behave, I guess we can know each other far better than what we thought. There are people that live, I looked over and seen Brother Malpas, there are people that live in Alaska, way on the other side of the world, if you will. They believe like we believe, and I don't know their name, and they don't know my name, but we could get together and have a very long talk and agree on all sorts of things because we are of one mind. Now, if you're not careful and you say, well, I think I'll bring God's mind into things a little bit, and then I seen this one thing on television and I think I want to bring their mind in on this a little bit, and then I read this book and it was a philosophy book and I'm going to bring that into it. Now you're dealing with three minds. Three minds do not bring it doesn't bring peace. Three minds will not bring strength. It will not make your mind sound. Matter of fact, your mind will mess you up. You and I need to think God's way. But the Bible talked about being of one mind. We become one mind by living God's book. Let me read a couple of verses to you. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together." Huh. There's that being of one mind again. Romans chapter 15, verse number 6 says, "That ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you." Now, God is saying, if you don't want to have a shaken mind, you need to work at having one mind, and you can have one mind if you will take on the mind of Christ. You'll think God's way. I would also say this, God looks very, very dimly on disunity in the local New Testament church. I would say, if I were you, if you don't want to have a shaken mind, never become a part of causing disunity in the local church. Unity is a part of the key or the foundation of revival in the local church. And if the unity, if it's stymied, then the revival is stymied. So I don't want to have a shaken mind. So I need to work on this thing of being of one mind. And I accomplish that through the Word of God. Not only that, if you would like to prevent having a shaken mind, you're going to need to develop a pure mind. A pure mind. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, it says this, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds." Pure. A pure mind. Now, folks, I think most of us that are born again, that are in this room, we would like people to think we're decent people. We're clean people. I think most would like everyone to think that we're good people. I think most of us, probably 100% of the people under the sound of my voice this evening, would like folks to think that you're pure. Well, let me explain something. You're not only to look pure on the outside, look right up here. You're not only to be pure on the outside, you're to be pure on the inside. For some, it would be a sad thing if we knew what really goes on the inside of you. You need your mind to be pure. And let me warn you, you put a bunch of junk in your brain, and you say it's in there, and I've got it hidden in there, and I've got it suppressed in there, and nobody knows what I really am. Nobody really knows what's going on inside me. Well, first of all, you're wrong. You know. Number two, God knows. Number three, we'll know soon enough. Because it'll come out. And you need to keep what's inside you pure, because what's inside you eventually will come out. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Really, out of the abundance of the heart, the mind, the Christian liveth. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. So, if you don't want to have a shaken mind, you need to get a pure mind. Desire pure things. Don't put bad things in your mind. Don't put the wrong kind of music in your mind. Could I recommend to everybody here, you want to stay as far away from pornography as you can stay. Stay away from it. You say, why? It will control you. You say, it won't control me. It will control you. There are people in here, you can't get away from it now. Well, you could, but you haven't, because it's got control of you. You don't have control of it. You better keep your mind pure. pure minds keep us from having shaken minds. I've been dealing with Christians, and I've been around Christianity for a long time. The people that work at these matters, these positive matters regarding their minds are usually stable. They're solid. They're sound. They're not freaked out all the time. They're not confused all the time. The Bible says God's not the author of confusion. So you better work on your mind. You better make sure you do these things so that your mind is not soon shaken. Now, if I may, I'll give you one more point, and in a second, I'm going to wrap it all up. But to prevent a shaken mind, it's a good idea to have a stirred mind. A stirred mind. Let me read to you from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says this: "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds." Here, it is being recommended that our minds be stirred. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know what it's like. If you stir something that's cooking, you're moving it around. The word stir means to kindle afresh. In a way, this is talking about if you're ever going to get a shaken mind, shake up the good part. Stir up the good part. Maybe God's saying, remember what you've learned. Some of the good that you have learned is dropped to the bottom of the pot. You need to stir it up so we can get it active again and get it moving around in your life again. Can I tell you something that can help to stir a mind? Preaching. Preaching where the pastor stands up and says, you better stay away from the pornography, where a pastor stands up and says, you gave your word that you were going to live right to be a Sunday school teacher, and you're not doing it. You ought to get your heart right and quit playing games. And don't, hey, you better be careful how you act. You better be careful how you live. You better be careful what you do. You better be careful where you go. You better be careful what you say. You better be careful what you drink. You better be careful what you wear. You better be careful who you run around with. There's some of you spend time with people. It's no wonder your life is a mess. No wonder your mind is a mess. You're going to bring yourself to a spiritual mental breakdown if you don't get it together and stop living like an idiot. Now, that's an illustration of how you stir people. That's all. Just an illustration. You know what it does? It gets some things moving around. And someone said to me once, said, I am so mad at you. And I said, I am so glad that you're able to express spiritual emotion. We need our minds stirred. I feel sorry for congregations of people who their pastors never stir them. Did you know that when something is said from the pulpit and it gets on you, the right word for that is it convicts you? You know that's good for you? That's good for you. What's it doing? It's stirring up the things of God. Now, we don't want our minds shaken. In other words, we shouldn't be falling apart and emotionally and everything. But the word stirred is almost let God shake you. Move that thing around. Shake it up. Get those good things moving again in your life. I concluded my sermon this morning and I told you, I said, folks, I'm worried. I'm worried about the behavior of Christians. We had some guests that were with us today. They'd been in our church before. But I made this statement, and I watched the man and how he responded. I said, the sad thing is, we have the lost people of the last generation use more spiritual sense than many of the saved people do of this generation. And when I said that, the guest went, he was just amazed at that statement. Let me tell you something, folks. You and I are not supposed to be like the world. We're not to think like them. We're not to make our decisions like them. Our emotions are not to be like theirs. I believe Christianity is so sucked up
into behaving even emotionally like the world, the world can't tell much of a difference between us and them. We're to be a little stronger than that. We do have a Savior. We do have a Holy Spirit. We do have we've got a playbook. It's called the Bible, and we're to live by it. Let's make sure that we are not soon shaken in mind. How do we do that? I think I've given you about a dozen points. Have a mind to work. Have a mind that stayed on God. Have a mind filled with hope. Have a humble mind, a sound mind, a Christ-like mind, a ready mind, a mind of subjection, a fervent mind, a renewed mind. Be of one mind. Have a pure mind. And then let God every once in a while just stir up or shake your mind so that some of that you buried in your backslidden way resurfaces. I think this. Probably somebody, if you don't do some of these things I've said, you're going to mess your life up royal. Because you've had some things going on in private, inside. They're about to the point where they're going to surface. You're going to embarrass yourself. And you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble.